The outlook is indeed very, very bleak. I mean, when we look back at where we were this time last year, we had about 52 million people in humanitarian need, and we're now ending the year with over 76 million people in humanitarian need. The cost of responding to that has grown by a similar rate, from about $12.9 billion up to $19.2 billion right now. So it's been a rapid deterioration through 2014, and sadly, as we move forward, we're expecting to face a very tough year in 2015.
Can the world afford to pay for all these humanitarian crises?
Well, the poor people who are affected by them certainly can't, because they're losing their lives in the hundreds and thousands, into the millions, in fact. And with tens of millions really subsisting in terrible misery and terrible inhumane conditions, they certainly can't afford for this situation to continue. They are relying, of course, on the generosity of those who have to help them, and we hope that they will.
Are there any reasons to be optimistic for the next year?
We have to be hopeful. I don't think realistically that we have many indicators that would create optimism, but that's what we have to work to create. We have to work to see an end to so many of these conflicts which have been raging on and intensifying, and they're man-made conflicts. So they can be ended. There is a basis there for progress if you can find a way to find political solutions to these conflicts, which is driving so much displacement and creating so much misery.
How difficult is it personally facing up to all these crises? You must see a lot of suffering in your work.
It's very difficult for our humanitarian colleagues across the world. And, you know, we need to remember that 2014 has been dangerous as well as difficult. And sadly, we have lost over 85 colleagues so far this year in over 230 attacks on humanitarian workers. It's, of course, very frustrating for humanitarian workers to be out there on the front line, underfunded, facing the inhumanity and suffering, unable to deliver the assistance that people urgently need. But they're just continued to do a heroic job. There's no choice. We have to keep going. We can't give up. And the fact that they don't give up and they do keep going, it does save tens of millions of lives and does reduce the humanitarian suffering.
We hear a lot about the humanitarian hotspots, but what about the forgotten crises, the forgotten humanitarian crises that we don't hear so much about?
Well, I think our duty is to treat all people everywhere equally in terms of our support and attention. But that's easier said than done, because political attention is focused on some of the big politically more important crises, to put it in a certain way. And then there are places where, for example, across the Sahel, where 572,000 children died last year, malnourished, suffering from diseases that could have been cured or prevented. There's a scale of suffering in so many places that I think the world has become quite numb in a way. Certainly there is a difficulty to gain media attention for such a broad scale of disaster across the world. But our job is to somehow also keep trying to raise that profile and make sure that in the way we do our humanitarian action, we are focused on people, not on the media spotlight or any other drivers of attention.